Election College, Episode 44, The Election of 1912. In this episode, another vice president dies, and Teddy's back.
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
Hey, Jason, 1912, it's here.
Yeah.
I mean, if 1908 was a good year, 1912 is just going to blow you out of the water.
It is going to blow you out of the water.
Well, it also occurred to me when we were talking about this episode that it's the year the Titanic sunk. So that's what I always think about 1912 for. So hopefully there's something in this episode that cheers me up from thinking about the sinking of the Titanic.
And I will try my best not to sing any Celine Dion music.
I would appreciate that. That would be very Canadian of you.
Yeah, French Canadian.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got President Taft. Mm-hmm. He's in office, and I mean, he's not doing too bad of a job, in my opinion. The Republican Party thinks so, too. They think he's doing pretty well.
I mean, Taft is kind of like one of those guys who's like, okay, I want to be a judge, and this is what the law says, and I'm not going to play the political game so much, and hey, Congress, you make the decision.
Right.
he really doesn't like to offend anyone, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, I guess so. He did kind of offend Theodore Roosevelt. The man who kind of put him in power.
Oh, yeah. Well, that whole progressive thing.
Yeah, the whole progressive conservative thing. They were on opposite sides of that.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because when Taft's term, it's hard to say the plural of Taft or the possessive. Yeah. Taft's. When Will's term began, he and his vice president... They were kind of at odds about a lot of things, and as his presidency continued, they weren't so different.
Right.
Who changed?
They definitely grew closer in one way or another. And then, you know, as Taft's views kind of changed, and I guess probably Teddy's changed as well. They
certainly changed towards him, yeah.
Yeah, they became leaders of the Republican Party's different wings. And so you've got the progressives, which we know about already, and that's Roosevelt. And you've got the conservatives, which we know about already, and that's Taft. And so you've got these two battling forces, and they used to really like each other, Teddy and Taft, and now not so much. And so Teddy's like, hey, I know I said I wasn't going to run for another election, but hey, Republican Party, you should nominate me instead of the incumbent.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny about all of this because the ideologies were so different and you've got that public dynamic going on, but the two, Roosevelt and Taft, are still friends.
Right.
And it's just crazy. How can you still be friends, but not be bitter towards one another? Because it really seems like up to this point, if you've got some sort of political disagreement, then what ends up happening is I will destroy you. And
yeah.
But, and I think that was kind of what ends up happening. Roosevelt is like, I will destroy you. But on a personal level, they still are friends. So I just want to make that clear.
Do you think that they were like sitting around the dinner table playing cards or drinking scotch or something? And you know, Teddy's talking about some different policies he thinks. And Taft is like, oh, you know, I disagree. And all of a sudden, Teddy's just like, listen, I'm a mountain man. I'm going to kill you. just so you know, this election's going to go my way.
And Taft twirls this, twirls the handlebar and is like, okay, whatever.
We'll yeah. I don't want to make you mad by saying no, but well, we've already stated that, that the nomination committee, that's not a thing. The Republican National Convention really thinks that Taft's doing a great job, and the conservative wing of that party especially thinks he's doing a great job. And so they're like, yeah, we're going to renominate Taft. And Teddy's like, wait, you're not, I'm not the nominee.
Right. And Roosevelt does the real mature thing, and he's like, hey, delegates of the convention, are you really qualified to be a delegate? And he's pretty much like, you guys are a bunch of idiots. I mean, let's just call it like we see it, right? He's like, no, I'm taking my philosophies, my outlook on the way things should be run, and I am going to go play over here. And by the way, traditional Republican Party, I'm done with you. I am now a bull moose guy.
Right.
Otherwise known as progressive.
Yeah, and the progressives became known as the bull moose party by many. And in history, that's oftentimes interchanged with the progressive party. But it's kind of like it's really the first third party that gains any traction at all. I shouldn't say any traction at all. Any substantial amount of traction.
Yeah, they're actually getting some funding from some very well-to-do people. There's Frank Muncie. He is a publisher. And a name you probably wouldn't recognize, J.P. Morgan, the banker. He's like, I'm all about supporting this guy. Theodore, we love you. We want you back.
We won't even call you Teddy.
Right. And it's kind of funny, too. And my goodness, Ben, we could probably do a whole big, long, fat podcast about some of the songs and some of the hymns that many of us have sang in church. We're singing at different political conventions and so on and so forth. But the progressives actually are led into singing Onward Christian Soldiers at their convention. It's kind of like their anthem. Right. And I mean, this is like Onward Christian Soldiers marching as to war, you know, and then it's this big, you know, hey man, this is bigger than just some national political party. This is kingdom work that we've got going on.
They're basically saying our political party has the favor of God. And none of the other ones do, which of course no party nowadays would say that's the case ever. Nobody would ever do that.
No. But you know what's always helpful, Ben? Yeah. It's when you compare the presidential race and the different forces that are coming together and coming together to annihilate one another, is to do some sort of biblical reference, like, this election is kind of like the Battle of Armageddon.
Right. And the progressives pretty much say that they're on the side of the Lord. They're going to battle for the Lord. And, well, pretty much nobody outside the progressive convention really bought into that. The nation's newspapers, most of them, they didn't really take to Roosevelt's idea that he was all that and really portrayed him as being full of ego, which was not historically true, but maybe was at this point.
Yeah. So the Republicans / progressives and Bull Moose, Bill, I can't say Bull Moose, man. They're doing their thing. Meanwhile, the Democrats, they're like, hey, let's throw our party in Baltimore.
Because that's where we always have our party, in Baltimore.
Yeah. And Champ Clark from Missouri, he's the Speaker of the House. And he's like, of course I'm going to be the nominee, right? Well, he was unable to secure the 2/3 majority required to win the nomination. So you remember Tammany Hall?
They're pretty much this really powerful and really corrupt in most people's eyes political kind of party machine that comes out of New York City. And then they just throw their support behind Clark and want him to go all the way.
Yeah. And instead of helping him, this actually brings William Jennings Bryan back.
What?
Yeah. So Bryan is still considered the liberal wing of the Democrats' leader. He's like, dude, this guy is a Wall Street guy. He's not our man. Let's instead support, that governor of New Jersey, Woodrow Wilson.
Right, because why not? I mean, he had consistently finished behind Clark on every ballot. He was pretty known as being a reformer of the moderates. And Wilson just kind of like, I mean, he really wants the job, but he's at this point, he's kind of like, well, I guess next time. He almost reminds me of Eeyore. Well, nobody likes me. So, he pretty much has his concession speech in hand. He's ready to give it just to kind of say, I'm done. I'm not really battling it anymore. And then he doesn't have to, because Brian's kind of speech or rallying cries that he gives sways things over to Wilson.
Yeah. And so Wilson is the guy.
Wow. That was kind of a crazy turn of events. So now we've got three candidates, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's kind of weird.
We got, we've got the two Republican-y types. We've got the Democrat, and the socialists are still around.
Oh man, the stinking socialists.
Yeah, so I guess we can say a few more things about the Socialist Party. They really were all about the working man. And if you notice, in a lot of these countries that just went all out socialist, there's usually the name people, worker, stuff like that. So that was very much who the socialists were going after. And these were primarily ethnic people, urbanites, immigrants from Germany and Finland, and different mining areas. So they're gradually getting some people on board with them, and they nominate Eugene Debs from Indiana as their candidate.
Yeah. Congrats, Eugene. You're the nominee of the political party that never wins.
Yeah, we're talking about you 100 years later.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Woo-hoo. So back to the campaign.
Uh-huh. You know what I was just thinking about, Jason?
What?
It's a good thing nobody's died lately.
I know. We've had a few years where
like 8 or 12.
Yeah. Oh no, Ben. The vice president.
Oh.
Yeah, James Sherman. He dies late October, like less than a week before the election. And Taft is without his running mate. So Taft's friend decides to run against him. And now his running mate dies.
Oh, man, he's having a bad day. So the Republican Party, they're just split between Taft and Roosevelt, and some of them are like, well, Roosevelt's kind of a baby because look at what he did. And the other ones are like, well, Taft kind of is all by himself. What happens if he dies? Who's going to take his spot? And they just can't get the support, kind of behind one of the two guys. So Wilson gets it.
Yeah. But you know what's really crazy, Ben?
What's that?
Why we're talking about death and stuff? Roosevelt was actually shot on October 14th.
That's crazy.
Yeah, a saloon keeper in Milwaukee, like, shoots him in the chest, and the bullet penetrates his eyeglass case and goes through a 50-page folded copy of the speech that he was carrying in his jacket.
I was pretty certain that things like that only happened in movies where, like, you know, grandma gives him this pendant to wear at the beginning of the movie, and then at the end of the movie he gets shot and then ends up not dying. It kind of reminds me of that. Like, it really, really lucky that that was where it hit him, I guess.
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy. I mean, you got Roosevelt. He had been the president, and he's running again, and he gets shot. Taft loses his vice president. Everything seems crazy. And Wilson is a Democrat, and the Democrats haven't won anything in a while, and he wins.
Yeah. It's kind of like the underdog story. The guy who's kind of being ignored, almost, it seems like. Yeah, so the numbers in this election are kind of deceiving because, granted, Woodrow Wilson had about 2 million votes more than Theodore Roosevelt's, which is a lot, but doesn't always seem like it has to be a lot, when, you know, 2 million votes. But the amount of electoral votes he wins by is almost like 350-ish. So Woodrow Wilson has 435 electoral votes to Theodore Roosevelt's 88, which is an insane margin.
Right. Yeah, and if you look at the map, it's pretty crazy because where is Taft in all of this? I mean, if every county was the same size, you wouldn't have very many counties at all voting for Taft. And even when it comes to his home state of Ohio, it's all about Wilson.
Right, exactly. And here's something interesting, Jason, at least interesting to me. So Wilson's who won, right? He won with over a little over 6 million votes, is actually less than William Jennings Bryan got in any of his campaigns. And Bryan lost every time. So the winner of this election still got less votes than the loser of at least three other elections.
That is crazy.
Really insane. Even the percentage was higher, or I'm sorry, was lower overall.
Yeah. And to think such an important president, I mean, really, the Wilson presidency, which this is just a little looking into the future, as it were, but the Wilson presidency was extremely important. And to think that it wouldn't really have happened, there is some speculation that, well, if Roosevelt would have received the Republican nomination, that he probably wouldn't have won against Wilson. I'm sure a lot of people who had been like, well, if it was just Taft, you know, who would have won? Or if it was just Roosevelt, who would have won? But there's really no logical reason, if you're a strategist, if you're a Republican strategist especially, why Wilson should have won the presidency. But looking just at the electoral map and looking about how important his presidency was, it's like, well, I guess it was just meant to be.
One of those things.
That's profound, wasn't it?
I didn't want to say anything, but it really inspired me. Well, that's it. I think that's all I have to say about that, as Forrest Gump would say.
Yeah, and one thing I do want to say, Ben, is that Christmas is like almost here already.
It's true. It's kind of crazy how close we are, at least at the time of this recording, if you're listening right when we release it.
Yeah, and whether it's before or after Christmas, we just want to give you a nice little reminder. We don't have a lot of commercials on our podcast, and kind of like it that way. But the way you can support the podcast is by visiting our Amazon link and do your shopping on Amazon just like you normally would do. But instead of typing Amazon.com, type in electioncollege.com/Amazon.
That's right. Same prices, same Amazon you know and love, but you help your buddies, Ben and Jason. And that's all we're really asking, is for you to give us money by doing nothing.
Yeah. And another way you can show your love this holiday season is to head over to iTunes and give us a star rating.
While you're at it, make sure to check us out on your favorite social media platform, as long as it is Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, where you can find us at Election College on all three of those.
So, 1912, it was a heck of a year.
Agreed. Let's do this all again. Oh, man, next episode's going to be super interesting.
I can't wait.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.